picture turquoise waters under an azure sky with the sun gleaming off pristine white sand. And picture this scene far, far away from the insanity of your life. Just imagine, nothing to do but read that book you've been meaning to get to, while lying on the beach sipping a tropical-looking drink. Or maybe you'll meander into your cabana to take a refreshing nap. But that's about all the energy you're going to expend for the day. Sound appealing? Wesley Weisberg thought so, too, and was prepared for the perfect trip. Unfortunately, she was in for a few unexpected surprises.
Hey, how was St. Martin?
There's an expectation to a vacation.
I'm so jealous.
And why not? You spend lots of money. You use precious vacation days. You expect something. As winter set in, New York City was so cold and sleety wet, the Thai restaurant down the street wouldn't even deliver. There was never a better time to have a plane ticket to the Caribbean. My father had arranged for a house, a villa really, on St. Martin, and invited my sister and me, along with our husbands and kids. It seemed ideal. St. Martin is a tiny West Indian island, half French, half Dutch, the smallest landmass in the world to be split in two countries. It promised everything, dozens of beaches, deep sea fishing, scuba diving, snorkeling, gambling, golf. But it promised even more to our family. My father was recreating a trip we had taken to St. Martin 25 years ago, when my sister and I were kids and Dad was recently divorced. We still spoke of it. I remember racing crabs on the beach, catching salamanders under the banana trees, and having our own pool. Later, we would measure other vacations against that idyllic tropical Christmas. But this trip wasn't quite that trip. Day one, the dog. The house looked like a perfume ad, white stucco walls and Spanish tile floors with an inner courtyard and L-shaped pool. It stood high on a peninsula, overlooking the sea on three sides. The neighborhood, called Terrabas, had no stores, no town, just hundreds of villas, each with its own designer pool, gardener, and maid. Around the house was a high wall and a sign that said, "Beware of the dog." But there was no dog, not at our house. On that first day, I decided to go for a stroll with my one-year-old daughter, Eleanor.
She went to carry Eleanor for a walk. And in walking, the dogs came out from the fence and started barking after her. And then she gets so scared until it ends up biting her. But anyway, I'm still glad it was she, but not the baby, that the dogs bite.
Cecilia, the brave woman who walked that road every day so she could wash our linens, said the dogs belonged to the neighbor. There were four or five of them, medium-sized, brown, and mongrelly. The one that got me came from behind and wrapped his mouth around my left calf in the thickest part, like you might a chicken leg. I pushed the carriage away from me, Battleship Potemkin, downhill toward a man coming up the road. The dogs disappeared back under the neighbor's gate to lay in wait, I imagine, for their next victim. Clutching my calf, I hobbled toward the man in search of sympathy. Eleanor lay in the stroller. She'd slept through the whole thing.
I forget to tell you to walk if a piece of sticks, because they're afraid of sticks and rocks.
I spoke to the realtor who'd rented the house and to the local police. They offered forms and sympathy, but nothing about removing the dog, certainly not in this vacation lifetime. They both said this had never happened before, but Ophelia told a different story.
Like many people, and the owners haven't done anything about it.
You can still see the markings where the dog's teeth went in, two round points separated by an invisible 45 degree of jaw. The doctor patched me up, made me keep the leg dry for 2 days. 2 days, surrounded by ocean, next to a private pool, and I couldn't even take a shower. So I eased into the rhythms of a sympathy vacation. No swimming, no walking, just visits to the local medical clinic and phone calls from family members in New York City. Though they'd barely so much as pet a dog, they were now even more certain of the evils of the natural environment that lurks beyond the island of Manhattan. But my days as a victim were ending. Day three, the mosquitoes. The mosquitoes were worse this year. That's what they told us anyway. It rained a lot. Maybe that was why. We slept under netting, which didn't quite work. And in the morning, we put Cordate and Calamine on our swollen arms and legs. Eleanor, so happy to be free of the layers of winter clothes we'd bundled her in, was now wearing layers of creams and ointments. But it turned out there was more evil to those nasty little bugs and their itchy red markings than any of us realized. Day five, the fever. My brother-in-law Stuart awoke that morning with a fever of 104 and cramps so great he couldn't move. Dengue fever, a mosquito-borne illness known as backbreak fever. Stuart spent 6 more days writhing in bed, sometimes delirious, his eyes so swollen he could hardly see.
And the fevers and chills came in kind of a cycle. They would come and then they would dissipate and then they'd come back hours later. The body pains were serious enough that the doctor prescribed muscle relaxants for me. And he says it's normal to have a lot of severe contractions from the virus itself.
Oh, and big surprise.
The doctor said that I didn't get it in St. Martin.
I'll admit it, I'd been topped. On the menu of vacation hell, my dog bite became merely a canapé. Stuart's week of fevers and delirium was the event that would define this family holiday for all of us. But he saw it differently.
No, it didn't really ruin the vacation for me. That part of my vacation was supposed to have been more of a relaxing time anyway. There's not much more relaxing than you could get than staying in bed for 6 days. The fact that it was more exotic sounding made it seem, I don't know, like a bonus vacation sickness.
My brother-in-law's eerie and somewhat annoying stoicism about the whole thing made me wonder. Maybe the dog bite, the mosquitoes, and the dengue fever weren't just a patch of bad luck, but an answer to an unspoken question. You can't recreate that over-idealized childhood vacation, that Madeline of a perfect time and perfect place. You shouldn't try. Somewhere between the complete, unadulterated childhood memory and the mongrels and mosquitoes we met this time lies St. Martin, a small island, half French, half Dutch, the smallest landmass to be so divided. Just remember, if you go for a walk, carry a stick. Back in New York, where it's cold and familiar, I'm Wesley Weisberg for The Savvy Traveler.